You stumbled into a show. It's some kind of podcast. We like to set ourselves apart. Actually, I think the industry sets us apart. We're like an anti-podcast. If such a thing could exist in the world of podcasting, it's Binge Watchers Podcast. They call me Johnny Spoiler because I sometimes accidentally spoil the movies that I love on the show. That's what I do here. Mm-hmm. Joined as always by the Savage Scream Queen, Jordan Savage, who's so savage she can review a movie without having seen it while getting her pump on the local jam.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a barbarian queen from the 80s movies, so I'm sure all the fanboys are drooling. And the fangirls are like trying to figure out what gym she's at. We won't tell you what gym she's at. And don't stalk her on Instagram.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Like, don't even think about it. You can Google us. Believe it or not, our show does appear on Google, so that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Only took 10 years. What are you going to do? Keep on podcasting, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We just keep on podcasting.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
Whoa. I thought I was going to play again. I accidentally clicked something in the studio, folks. There's a little, like a little video stream studio where I have a bunch of buttons. And I thought I accidentally was going to play the theme song again, but I didn't. So there we go. Jordan stared at me like, what the heck? He's not saying anything. Crunchyroll launched their second annual anime event. That's kind of like what we do, too. We decided to move our April anime into May. So it's like anime. Get it? It's a joke. Anime from the word anime. Ha, ha, ha. What's going on with Crunchyroll specifically? I actually was going to write it down and I didn't. I do know that they're probably running the new season. They have something like 20 new shows for their anime lineup. Anime. Get it? Ha, ha, ha. And I think it probably includes the new season of Chainsaw Man, which is kind of a crazy show. The guy turns into like a chainsaw mutant. Anyway, look that up. I think they have the seasons of that on Hulu too. I don't know. All the streamers seem to like either be working together or they have some of the same shows. You really can't tell. Anyway, Crunchyroll is like destination anime, you know? The Jon Snow spinoff is no longer spinning off. Bummer. I wanted to see Jon Snow kill dead things in ice, you know, like with his Viking type friends, you know,
and ghost.
They call them the free folk.
The free folk, yeah.
Yeah, but they're basically like Vikings in a frozen wilderness. Yeah, anyway, it would have been the wildlings. Yeah, anyway, it would have been a great show. I don't know what's going on. Spending too much money on their other spinoffs. Who knows? That's Game of Thrones. Look it up, people. It's on like Max, which used to be called HBO. It was HBO for like 35 years. Now it's called Max. Whatever. Max Television. Maximum Television. America.
You make it sound better than just Max. So
do I? Hire me. You can pay me to talk things. I will talk stuff. For money. Only for money.
Just for money, though. Yeah.
I will talk things for money. Talk things, money. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Last Ronin is supposedly going to be adapted into an R-rated live-action movie. As Jordan likes to say, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
I like the idea, except I don't like who they picked for the last Ninja Turtle, because the Last Ronin, it's like a comic book where three of the four turtles are dead, and the fourth one is kicking around on like a revenge trip, Lone Samurai, you know, and it's in like a Mad Max type, like it's like apocalyptic, right? Shredder's gone, his daughter might still be alive, the foot soldiers are kicking around, but then there's like some cybernetic baddies too, and like whatever. And then we see the Last Ronin in the comic book, it's like shrouded, so you can't tell which turtle it is. But the turtle has the weapons of all the turtle brothers, right? So, and then you find out it's Michelangelo, and you're like, no, dude, the Calabunga one isn't going to be the one that would, like, he survived. He becomes the best turtle, the most qualified turtle to survive. Anyway, I don't know. And the other ones die brutally. It's like a violent comic book, but, you know, the serious. It's supposed to be like the old school turtle comics were like kind of green, like grimy, dirty, raw kind of. So they went back to like, kind of went back to that. But then. Then they're like, oh, as a comic book, it did so well. They did like The Last Ronin 2, and then they just introduced like four more turtles. Like, what was the point of that?
The point of doing it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. like, oh, no, we need a sequel. We have to have more turtles, which we don't have. And they just made up like four more. I don't get it. No. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're re-releasing Interstellar this fall into theaters for the 10th anniversary. And it's going to be like this big, giant IMAX thing where they have giant footage playing. 70 millimeter, that's a huge... you could, like, stand in front of a camera lens that big. Because after 35, 35 is pretty big, and that's standard. If you stand in front of something that's, like, 50 millimeter or 65 millimeter, it's, like, bigger than a person's head. And 70 millimeter, that's outrageous. Although Quentin Tarantino released... one of his, The Hateful Eight, his Western in some giant like 65 millimeter or something. But I'll just say this. Interstellar is my favorite Christopher Nolan movie. I don't care so much about the Batman movies, or even Oppenheimer was pretty good. But I still think Interstellar is like the tops for me, because it seems like if we're ever going to go past like the basic outer space that we've done, what happens in Interstellar seems probable.
Right. Like,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, like, just the fact that it's 10 years, and I remember so vividly someone saying that this was a movie, and this is what got me interested in watching it in the first place. They were like, this was a movie that I regret not seeing in theaters. This was a movie that I wish I would have seen in theaters. So it's cool that they're re-release it. And it's what wanted me to like actually watch it. And so, but you're right. It's so, like, how do you make the concept of space
better? So here's this crazy thing. Like, a bunch of movies that are like pre-streaming era are being re-released in theaters to support people going to the theaters, which is really funny, because like, it's almost like they can't seem to reverse engineer quality movies for streaming content. Because they're being dictated by the algorithm, like, oh, people are watching this, so let's make this. We need to make more of these. But they still aren't really hitting, like, cinema quality, right? And so they're like, oh, this movie's back in the theaters. Come watch it. This movie's back in the theaters. Come watch it. And you're like, oh, that's from the 90s or that's from the early 2000s or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just seems like for spacefaring stuff that could be realistic, Interstellar's pretty much the tops. Gosh. And I've watched that movie a handful of times. I love it every time. Same. I watch it. So anyway, yeah, I mean, maybe I go see that. Who knows? Rumor mail. We might have touched on this already. I can't remember if we talked about this. There is a Chris Farley biopic coming out, and it might star Paul Walter Hauser as Chris Farley. Seems long overdue, just like a John Belushi movie is long overdue. It seems like a Chris Farley movie is long overdue. But I mean, how do you harness, it's really hard to do a biopic of somebody that like is like a great character, or also like such a unique individual that accomplished something, right? If you think about it, because like they're almost one in a million, right? Like if you're like known for something, how do you go find somebody else who like who's good enough, or by the way, can you portray this other person?
Well, and that's the second part. It's like, how can you portray that uniqueness in a movie?
It's like lightning in a bottle. How do you get it a second time when you're trying to talk about this person's life or so? It makes sense. Maybe some more so with like comedians they're trying to like put in a movie or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The one who's done it the best is probably Jim Carrey for Andy Kaufman. Yeah. In Man in the Moon. Yeah. Or Man on the Moon, something like that. No, Man in the Moon, because the face of the man in the moon. Yeah, Man in the Moon. Keanu Reeves is going to do Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic 3, which is the only thing that matters. Like, forget the Middle East conflicts. Forget about the economy. The only piece of news that anybody needs to have is that Keanu Reeves is playing Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic 3. There's going to be a Sleepy Hollow remake. I don't know if you saw the horror movie with Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci.
One of my favorites.
Okay. All right.
Don't know why we need a remake, though.
Don't know why we need a remake. Well, I mean, the Headless Horseman story continuously gets remade, right? So, like, that Sleepy Hollow from Tim Burton with Christina Ricci and Johnny Depp was not, like, the first go around, right? Because there was Disney's Sleepy Hollow with the Maude Crane or whatever. But which one's going to be better?
No, so, like, who's going to be better than Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci? I just, I don't know.
I have always liked the Headless Horseman. He throws, like, flaming pumpkin heads around, or his, like, temporary heads that he steals. I like the idea. Like, the idea of a murderous, rampaging supernatural baddie that's, like, looking for his own head, and until he finds it, he's just lopping off heads of everybody else in sight.
Yeah, he's getting revenge.
I mean, the original story is creepy, because think about it. Like, you're just, like, an average school teacher on your way home, and you stay out too late, and now you're being chased by the Headless Horseman or whatever.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's a movie called The Four Seasons, and it came out, like, either late 70s, early 80s, and it's just about, like, two couples that are really close friends, but then one of the couples gets a divorce, and then they start dating other people, which introduces other people into the mix of their little social world, and they can't handle it, and they start to fall apart. Is it, who's in the original? Is it? Can't think of the names of the actors, but they're recognizable faces. Sorry, folks, I skipped on that one. Anyway, but Steve Carell and Tina Fey are going to play one of the couples in the remake of it, of The Four Seasons. So I always wondered why this movie cropped up on Netflix, because there was no conceivable reason. But Netflix has, like, a pattern of, if there's an original they're remaking, they throw it up into their queue, right?
Get all the excitement.
Traction, yeah, or build the excitement of the remake and see if there's any attention around it. So if it's still on Netflix, go watch the original Four Seasons and see what it's all about. Pretty good. It's a template for, like, romantic comedies and dramas. And that one, I'm actually, you know, it's like they're just like, oh, remake this, remake that, remake that. This one doesn't bother me. I'll probably tune into it. And then finally, this movie called Night Bitch is finally going to release in December of 2024. I can't wait to watch it. I think it's Amy Adams, the girl from American Hustle, the girl from...
I love her.
Enchanted. It's Amy Adams, right? Is that her name?
Yeah. She also plays the assistant in Talladega Nights.
That's the correct Amy. She basically acts like a dog. I think it's based on a book. It might be based on a book, but highly anticipated release. So I hope it lives up to the hype, where she's convinced she's turning into a dog.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's not exactly a werewolf movie, but it's dog adjacent, so we'll take it. And then if anybody's waiting for a live action He-Man or Masters of the Universe movie, supposedly we're going to get one in June 5 of 2026. We'll see. Long gestating. Go back and watch Masters of the Universe 84 or 89. Somewhere. Was that 89 or 84? I had the year pegged a couple weeks ago. It was fresh in my head, and now, of course, because we're recording, I can't think of which year in the 80s the other one came out, right? That's how it goes. Whatever. It's great. It's called Dolph Lundgren. It's, like, probably my favorite movie of his. He's He-Man / Prince Adam / whatever. Go watch it. Didn't I talk about Masters of the Universe for, like, 20 minutes the other day? Like, we were in an episode, and it wasn't even about Masters. Do you remember that? I'm not going to do it tonight. I promise. I'm gonna cap it off. Okay. Last Showgirls coming out with Pamela Anderson. Here's what I wrote down for this, folks. Older nudity. I love skin with mileage.
You do.
I do. I got a thing. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I love older skin with mileage. So I can't wait. I don't know if it's good. I assume. One can assume, based on her past shenanigans.
Safe assumption.
And the quality of her work in the past, that we're going to get some skin. Or skin with mileage. Skin mileage. I would watch that movie too. Hey, John, have you heard about this movie called Skin Mileage? Yeah, dude. I want to write this down. John, write a movie called Skin Mileage and then hype it up. Okay. All right. I'm just going to circle Skin Mileage on my notes. Yeah.
That I can't wait for you to go look back on that.
What?
Like,
what?
Just a couple weeks from now when you're like, Skin Mileage. I wonder what that
is. Why did I write down Skin Mileage in the notes? All right. Oh, Netflix is supposedly also doing a live-action Scooby-Doo. Who cares? That's what I wrote. I don't care. There's too much Scooby-Doo. There's too many movies. Literally, USA and Sci-Fi Network every weekend since for like the last 7 years have played 10 to 12 Scooby-Doo animated movies every weekend. I'm not joking. Like, every weekend for the last 7 years, they've been on television. So
I love the, like, original animation, but I just, the stuff evolves too quickly for me. Mm. And then I can't get on board. And again, we just did a live action not that long ago. So why? I just don't understand more remakes. Like,
ooh, there's also, like, a Dirty Velma cartoon on Max as well. That's like perfect. A grown-up Velma doing
See, stuff. That's something different, but, like, why?
Well, it's Scooby-Doo related. You know,
I love it. Yeah.
And instead of just making innuendo about like weed jokes, like everything in Velma is like exactly what they say it is. So
right.
Anyway, unrelated story, but also on Netflix, Tom Segura is getting the sitcom. You know, he does a lot of TikTok commentary on his podcast. He's a comedian. But I mean, I think like I think he's really big because of his presence on YouTube. Like he does a podcast with his wife, who's also a comedian, which. They must hate each other. I mean, if they're like they're married like 20 years, 25 years, they got kids, and they do a and they're on a podcast together every week, every day. I don't know, but what they do like this thing where they review like outrageous TikToks, and they also get videos from like just the all these overturned rocks, people under rocks in the United States. You know what I mean? Like these wild ass videos. Have you seen any of their stuff? Any of Tom Segura's?
No. Okay. Honestly, watching. I watched a little bit of the roast last night.
Oh, did you? I was going to bring that up too. I'll get to that in a second. Oh, so there's finally an outcome. Last year, a couple times we followed the Jonathan Majors story because it was heartbreaking. And then, well, either side of the conflict, whether you believe the girl or you're on his side, it was just bad news for everyone. But finally, there's an outcome. He got ordered to go to counseling for a year. And I wrote, what did I write here? Oh, I wrote, that's nice. clearly, if I'm writing that's nice in response to hearing the verdict, and that's my unabridged, unedited, that's my thought out right out of my brain. That's the first thought that came to me was that's nice. Clearly, you could tell maybe I'm leaning more towards being on his side of the conflict. But it's based on part of the video that I saw, and I'm just trying to interpret it without sound. I just saw a clip of the conflict where he's running away from the girl, and he looks terrified, terrified. And, like, he knows, like, oh, she just ruined my whole career. You know what I mean? He had, like, a look on his face like, oh, yeah, it's all ruined. It's over with, you know? Forget Ant-Man. Dang. Yeah, all you really needed to do to kill an Avengers villain was just... date a crazy white girl from New York, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, the two female fans that I had just
they're like just,
they just took me out of their queue. And then Jordan's like, no comment. speaking of the roast, well, comedian and actress Nikki Glaser is back in her second hour-long HBO special called Nikki Glaser, Someday You'll Die. It comes out on Saturday, May 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern on Max, of course. And she actually just roasted Tom Brady on Netflix. That's the roast that
I just
Jordan is referring to, yeah. You already watched some of it?
I watched all of it.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, is it funny? She's the funniest, yeah.
Oh, she's killer at the roast. If you go back and watch like some of the Comedy Central roasts she's on, she does a great job.
I hear her and Kill Tony were like the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tom wasn't that funny. He did a bit with Bert and I just.
He looked like, uncomfortable. I saw him in some of the clips. He doesn't look like he's having a good time.
Everybody looked uncomfortable, though. It was. It was
I'm gonna watch it.
I was sweating the whole time. Put a shirt on to like absorb the sweat. So
wow.
Yeah.
So a lot of good working comedians at this time are on this Tom Brady roast, but also Netflix was doing like a week of stuff because they're doing like Netflix is a joke. They're doing like their own comedy festival. I saw the Cat Williams special he just put out. That was like 2 days ago or something. Hilarious.
Yeah.
He's like at the top of his game after doing this. Is it Shannon Sharp interview? He did this like interview that's like just like now he's like
spilling the tea too. Well,
yeah, exactly. Like he laid all the dirt out and like it's incredible. And then like he bounced back and did this special for Netflix and it's absolutely
good for him.
Like, yeah, like he is so funny, man. Like obviously, you know, cultural references aside, like, you know, things that maybe don't translate if you're not, you know, didn't grow up with him in his neighborhood or what have you, right? Like, he's freaking funny, man. He's like one of my favorite comedians because he's just like consistently funny across all his specials anyway. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, usually at this point in the show, we have ads that play, but I'm kind of over sponsors right now, and this is why.
Podcast art anarchy. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, just podcast anarchy. Here we go, 2024. No, like, I remember I actually bitched about sponsors a couple years ago, and then I was pitching a company, and it's actually the Movie Box company. And like the owner's wife had like listened to a few of our episodes and she's like, he's really like tearing into his fucking sponsors. So I don't know. Yeah. they came on like during a holiday run. They're like, yeah, we want you to promote, you know, like our movie subscription box, you know, for the holidays. But, and then I was just like, oh, it's a joke. Don't even worry about it. I wasn't talking shit about my sponsors. It was a joke.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love companies or people that support our show, obviously. However, like when you're working with brands and you're getting raw dealed all the time and they're like, wait 2 months to get paid. And then 2 months come and or in that 2 month period, they find a way not to pay you. You kind of feel like they're using all that time, the double time or whatever. So they don't have to pay you as a creator. And I'm like thinking like, well, you know, like we rent space to do the show, like. We're also working people. I mean, so we're trying to do the gigs and we're trying to make the shows.
The time.
It actually costs us time to produce the show. Like, you know, there's a lot of things going on. And I just feel like the name of the game right now is like not supportive of the creators, you know? So anyway. Yeah.
Podcasting. But,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're not here to talk about that really. It's not the show. About sponsor, that'd be really funny. There's just a show, just like it's like AA, but for podcasters, you know, just to go air their grievances or something, you know. Like, let's see, like podcasting has ruined their life, and that's their addiction instead of gambling or like narcotics. How'd you ruin your life and end up in a box? I tried to podcast and get sponsors, and it fucking ruined my life. You know what?
My name's Jordan, and I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan. I have been podcasting for 3 years. Yes. She just got her chip.
Yes.
Oh, man. Dang. They're like, how long has it been since you picked up the microphone? You're like, oh, shit, only a day. Tonight's movie is called Black Lion or Fear the Black Lion. It's an OVA from 92. That's a condensed video animation anyway. Supposedly in the year 1580, Oda Nobunaga is on the verge of ruling Japan with the aid of a powerful enforcer. I'm having a hard time speaking words today.
That's okay. Jeez. It's going to get worse whenever I have to talk about my bits. So.
He has an enforcer named Gane Domo. He was a samurai that's been turned into a ninja-killing cyborg, but an Aiga ninja named Sushimaru is determined to avenge his brethren at any cost. Basically, this samurai is just running through all the ninja everywhere, like, you know, like a hot knife through butter. Yes. Or chafing the wheat in the fields. He's just running through all the ninjas he can find. This synopsis was courtesy of the anime.org. I've noticed something. It's like a phenomenon. It's like a, it's definitely a trend. So if you watch anime, the ninjas are always the heroes. However, if you watch martial arts movies or samurai films, the ninjas are always the bad guys. Hmm. And it's pretty much consistent in the across the genres. This movie's called The Black Lion, but the dude has a red suit. And it's like glaringly red, his little ninja costume. So I'm like, why didn't they just call him the Red Lion? And I guess because he has black hair. The only other trait that the guy, the main character, has is he's got a red suit and he's got long black hair. So I guess that's the only reason they would call him the Black Lion. Or he's a lion that strikes at night, so he's the Black Lion. I mean, I don't know. It's like a ninja metaphor or something, right?
It has but, to be.
Anyway. Do you have savage stats?
I got nothing for you. No stats. No stats.
No, you okay? Gotta say, like, these are my stats. I have nothing.
I don't have anything for you.
It was a manga, and I want to say it's drawn by the bad boy of manga. No, just kidding. I don't even know if the manga community assigns like one artist. That'd be really funny. We should look it up. Is there a bad boy of manga? We'll find out. We'll tell you later, folks.
The only thing I can say about it is that it was published like 3 or 4 different times.
Whoa.
Like first in 1978, again in 1984, and then a third time published in 1990.
The same book, new covers or new drawings, or I don't know.
It doesn't go into specifics. It doesn't go into it. But yeah, because it was published a fourth time in 1995. So it's crazy.
Favorite bits from Black Lion, Jordan, what do you got for us?
I would say when the main character, Shishimaru, is like using
sushi, like the word sushi.
Okay, Tsushima,
like the food, yeah.
Is using his magic because he's got like sort of it's technically not magic, right? So but
they really put on a show for you, just like a magician. So they can
do,
yeah, it's gunpowder running through bamboo rockets or something. But he goes, Iga Ninja, launch your magic, and bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, he's got these like almost scarecrow looking things, and he's using smoke to create an illusion to.
Oh, when he tricked him with the fake ninjas, that was pretty cool.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. So thought that was pretty awesome. And yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool. And I didn't see the cyborg stuff coming, so I was surprised. Yeah. Especially with the fact that it's supposedly taken place in 1580, but machine guns and stuff.
I'll tell you why in a minute. But
tell me.
Well, I was going to write, so for my first favorite bit, I wrote, crazy anime shit happens in the first minute. Right? Because you see the armored mechanical cyborg stuff and the lasers blowing up the regular, you know, forces at the village. You're like, what the heck?
You definitely see the lasers, yeah.
Second favorite bit, there's a cyborg samurai Terminator style. Yeah, this guy, Gino Domo or something, like, they're like, oh, he's the immortal samurai because, hello, he's got like a cyborg skeleton underneath his regular skin. He's a cyborg, and every time they chop bits off, he just puts them back on. It's funny that the main character's name is Tsushimaru because it sounds like they're saying the word sushi, which is cool. I don't even know. It probably doesn't mean the same thing, but it sounds like sushi, and I love sushi, so what are you going to do? The best line in the whole thing. Well, later on when the guy's talking about like the kind of explosions they're going to have are kind of ending, they're doing like this, you know, back and forth anime talk. But the main character is complaining when they're like, you got to work with the female ninjas, and he's like, I don't want to work with women. Women are too loud.
I thought it was, though, and this is like all of my stuff is assumptive, right? I'm just like taking bits and I'm like doing my own assuming of the plot. Yeah. But yeah. I thought it was because his, you know, lady friend that he lost looked similar to the girl that he was supposed to work with, because doesn't he mistake her when he goes
that might be them? Like the extra layer, like the actual truth of why he doesn't want to work with female ninjas, because he was in love with one of the female ninjas and she died early on because of, you know, like a mistake or something. Yeah, it's fine. But also, you know, there's like characters in anime are highly skilled. But there's also like this social thing where like the guys are bumbling idiots and they have no Riz, as the kids say these days.
That doesn't happen.
No charisma
in real life,
for
so.
Riz. Yeah. Hey, what doesn't happen kidding. In real life? What doesn't
that the guys in real life? Are not bumbling idiots. So.
Oh yeah, we got our shit together. What are you talking about? Yeah. Under control over here.
Honestly, I loved that they were thinking that an explosion was gonna do it, right? And then essentially, I thought when they were referring to as like the Black Lion, it was the beings that like transported them to the field. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So, folks, this is what happened. So, first of all, you're like, why is the Terminator running around killing ninjas in feudal Japan? And then he's about to go nuclear. His little battery pack's going to explode and kill the heroes on the field of battle. And then, like, yeah, three ghost-like aliens who are made out of balls of energy show up and save the main character and his two ninja friends from utter annihilation. And they're like, we're going to tap you for a mission in the future. We'll see you later for now. And what's cool about this is, like, the shorter animes are really cool. It's like the perfect movie is 90 minutes. The perfect anime might be 45 minutes. Like usually in anime, there's too many paragraphs talking. Sometimes there's animation where like when they shortchange the animation or they run out of money, they'll be like, they'll show you like a matte painting or like an object while you hear people talking. Like there's one anime that's like notorious for doing it. What is that? Oh, Evangelion, which is about like teenagers in mech suits fighting giant aliens. However, like in some of the later episodes, I don't know if they run out of money, but like literally you hear people talking for like 25 minutes and you're just staring at like the wall or a telephone. So I really love the animations that keep it tight. And this thing starts in a battle and basically continues in a battle. It only pauses when the ninjas are like, damn, he's killed like 500 of our ninjas. We're going to lose 500 more. How do we kill this thing? You know what I mean? There's only pauses in this thing or, as you said, a flashback. About the previous encounter with this thing, and then like you know every mid whatever every time one of the I don't know supporting characters is getting taken out or whatever, it's like, and how many ninjas were harmed in the making of this movie? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of dead ninjas.
a lot of dead ninjas.
We have a rating system on our show that's like patented where the hosts give their overall rating and we do this thing called binge now, binge later, or binge never. Now, later, or never. I'm sure you can figure it out, but if you can't, this is how it works. Move it to the top of your list. Get to it eventually, or don't waste your time. You can't get your life back. What are you doing with yourselves in your life? Really, really think about what's happening to you. That was kind of exaggerated, but I thought I would just keep going until I got it done. You can't stop a bit, folks. You have to just follow it to its natural conclusion.
You have to see it through. Yeah.
Yeah, which could be seconds later, minutes later. It could go on for years. There's bits I haven't even stopped yet.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would rate it a binge show. It was 45 minutes. Okay. I love how literal it was.
Yeah.
It was...
Which is probably another common trope in anime. It's all literal. There's no metaphor. It's like all literal.
It's just so literal. And... I mean, I love that it's supposed to take place in 1580, but then there's like spaceships.
But they got year 3000 tech. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's how I feel about it.
And if they hadn't cut away to outer space and showed us a spaceship, we wouldn't have figured out who dropped the technology anyway. It's like one could assume it's not very well fleshed out. I mean, you could assume it's like two different aliens and they've picked sides, you know, humans on either side or whatever. To I don't know, win the battles for them. I don't know, who knows? You know, this thing was sitting around as a binge later for me for like 10 years already. Like, it was mentioned to me that I should watch it, that I would like something like this, and I just never watched it. And the whole thing for the show is like, damn it, what animes am I going to show Jordan this year? You know what I mean? So I was like, let me dust that one off, dust that wreck off and watch it. It remains a binge later for me because I'm just, I'm a little bit entitled, folks. I've seen so much anime. I'm a little spoiled these days, okay? Seen a lot of good stuff. I'm sure there's stuff that never even crossed the sea, though. That's probably true. There's probably stuff we've never even seen or heard of that's over there that's really amazing. But, yeah, I mean, like, as far as I think about martial arts-related anime, Fist of the North Star is still the tops, and then followed only second by Ninja Scroll, which is, like, the most infamous anime of all time. maybe only comparable to like Akira, which they say is Akira over here, but it's really Akira, which I've made that. I just every time, I don't
it's
know
the
why.
Bit. It's the bit that keeps it's on the, giving.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that can't stop. Yeah, just keeps going. So yeah, binge later. What are the fans doing? Fan service. I had mentioned this movie called Used Cars. It's a Kurt Russell movie from, I think, the 80s. I mentioned it on LinkedIn the other day. And so Greg said, thanks for reminding him of the movie. He loves that movie. And I was probably going to watch it again and loves to watch it when it gets brought up. It is one of those movies, if used cars on the TV, you kind of stop. If you're not familiar with Kurt Russell selling cars, you're like, oh, he's not doing his typical thing, action movie, whatever, Kurt Russell. And or the thing is always playing on TV. So if he's not fighting mutated aliens and you see him just selling cars, you know, you might stop. Maybe you might stop. I don't know. He's getting a little long in the tooth these days. I wonder if people still know Kurt Russell like they used to know Kurt Russell. A lot of my favorite actors are like 60, 70, 80 years old. You know what I mean? Like,
he's still good looking. Okay. So,
I'm not talking about his looks. I mean, I'm sure he's still charming, but like, just whether or not, like, you know what I mean, his star shining still bright enough for people to be like, "Oh, Used Cars with Kurt Russell. Gotta sit down and watch this." You know, it's on.
Hey, you're doing it right now. So,
yeah, that's true. Staff picks. If there's any recs that aren't the movie of the week that you want people to tune in for. We've had a couple weeks off, so maybe there might be some stuff to that's been seen. I'm not sure. Jordan, you got some stuff that they should see?
I watched Peanut Butter Falcon yesterday, and it was so cute. So just great feel-good movie on a Sunday where you need to, like, not have an agenda. That was a great movie. So
I watched that thing you told me about. I watched Baby Reindeer. I don't think I liked it as much as you did.
I don't know
that's
if I
like,
could like it, but it was thrilling and terrifying.
Well, that's a series also on Netflix. We've talked about, it seems like this show is all about Netflix or Max tonight.
Seriously.
And it's a series. It's about a comedian that gets stalked by a bar patron because he works at a bar. And then they have a relationship. It's all kind of confusing. And then they don't. And then he just seems like a magnet for abuse, right? Because I don't want to spoil the whole thing, obviously.
Yes.
I shouldn't spoil it at all because I'm supposed to only spoil things I like.
Yes.
Anyway, what else is going on? There was a movie I watched. What did I watch? Oh, I did see that Late Night with the Devil because they put that on Shudder. We'd almost reviewed that for the show. I'm glad we didn't because I was pretty disappointed. But people are super jazzed about that movie right now. Like, oh, it's creative and, like, you know, exorcism on a late night TV show, blah, blah, blah. They're like, it does some cool things with the kills, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It didn't get me on the level that everybody's, like, hyped it up for, you know. But that's a couple other things you can watch if you're not doing anything else. What's going on? Let's see. If you're listening to this, it's going to be followed by another bonus anime episode. I think it will be the Fist of the North Star episode because I loved reviewing that movie. And since we've already done it, I hate to repeat reviews. I almost told Jordan to watch that one too. I don't remember if Jordan did that one with us or not. But anyway, that'll be tagged on this one. And if you're just watching this, like on the YouTubes or whatever, then in the description, I'll put a link to that other review and you guys can watch that classic episode. You know, thanks for tuning in. I would encourage you to subscribe, go to our website, bwpodcast.com, figure out what's going on. We have some clippies on the social channels to take a look at. And we're coming back for a hell of a movie next week, although I got to find a copy of it. It doesn't seem to be widely available. We might be renting this one as if we could go rent movies. No, we'll probably have to rent it from like Amazon or I don't know, Vudu or something, like one of these streamers online. We're actually going to sit down and watch the Rainbow Bright movie of all things, Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer. Yeah, we're venturing into other related anime / animated movies of a certain rapport. So, oh boy, is my answer to that. Oh boy.
That's literally the note. for the movie for next week. So that's how I know it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. I did write my comment in the end of the note. I wrote Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer dash. Oh, boy. You know what? I shouldn't have played the outro theme because I told them a bonus episode was coming next, and then I played the outro anyway. Hot dog. Whatever. Killer anime podcast, Jordan.
Woo! I'm ready for next week.
So much binge watchers.
All of the binge watchers.
All of them. The one just big giant pile of flesh. And videotapes. Flesh and videotapes. There's actually that almost sounds like another movie. There's a movie called Sex, Lies, and Videotape. It's pretty good. It's
that sounds awesome. I was gonna say, what is it, Skin Miles? That's what it was?
Skin Mileage, right?
Skin Mileage.
I already forgot and I wrote it in the notes. Hold on.
That's what I said?
Yeah, Skin Mileage. Yeah.
There we go.
Said circle it. It's circled.
You know what I'm doing.
That's the thing about whatever you do. Gonna catch, Nick. If you gotta puke, just do it, bro.
I know. That's what I said. Yeah. Marina's like, why would you do the show? I'm like, dude, it maybe would be better for the show if I puke.
Because the show must go on. You don't stop a podcast over puke. You just puke on the podcast. Yeah. That's how that works.
Yeah. The guys on Jackass don't stop. Yeah.
Nick, think of a hashtag for that. What is it? Too much puke? Hashtag too much puke? Is that
Real men puke? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Real men blow chunks. Hashtag real men chunks. There you go.
And keep doing podcasts.
You just have to shout out the name of a movie you hate.
The podcast must go on, no matter what happens.
The podcast.
So are you not able to start the show? Are you totally like handicapped? Or can you?
No, I'm good.
Show?
I'm ready. No, that's why I was late, because I was making it was water coming out of my butt. It was really, I'm sorry to get all crazy. Oh,
it was straight up water.
But real men podcast even when they're sick. That's my
that's
point.
Right. You gotta do it no matter what.
Did I cancel today? Did I be like, I'm a little baby and I got sick. I'm gonna puke live on this damn show.
Nice.
Oh, we're rolling, by the way. Just
promise now.
Oh, we're rolling. This is good. Hey, we are live. I didn't realize.
Yeah, we're live. We're going.
I was sick today, guys. My kids were sick. Audience, I'm sorry.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it was an adventure. Yeah. But I'm here. Real men do podcasts and puke. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. And then they drink some more because why not?
He's really off his game. Usually Nick starts the show, so I'm waiting for his
Nick, not only does he vomit, but he also introduces the show, right?
Yeah.
So, John, I want to ask you a question. What the heck happened last week on Binge Watchers?
Some anime happened, and anime is about to happen again tonight because we're actually covering one of the best animes ever drawn. It's Fist of the North Star, the animated feature from 86, and a few cherry-picked headlines from the wider world of TV and movies and pop culture. So stay tuned, and let's go. Here comes our theme song. We'll see you in 30 seconds. Bam, let's go.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
All right. Usually I interrupt the drink popping there at the end. All right. So let's see what's new in the headlines. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see the concept video, but they've announced the sequel to The Last Starfighter. The Last Starfighters is on its way out.
Yes.
If you watch the concept video, it's kind of an easy cheat. Like, they're just saying that, like, you know, his kids are going to be trained to starfighters. Keep it in the family, right? What was his name? Andy Rogan? Was that his name, Andy Rogan? I feel like that was his name, something like that. Alex Rogan. Rogan was the last Starfighter. It shouldn't just be the human kids. It should be his alien partner's kids. Because I think, wasn't the alien talking about his wife was pregnant or he was married or something?
I think so.
The guy that helps the last Starfighter? That'd be cool. We'd covered Last Starfighter a few years ago on the show, and it's one of my favorite science fiction movies, but let's go around the guys. Let's see what they think. Nick, what do you think about a Last Starfighter sequel?
I am all on board. I haven't probably seen the movie in 25 years, but God, I would love to see this. I'm totally in the concept that John sent me in the link. Pretty damn cool. I like that.
Davey.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they're remaking everything or having like sequels like 40 years after the fact. Why not Last Starfighter? You know, do some VR.
Last Starfighter?
Well, 84 or 83?
Oh, damn near.
Yeah.
So why not? You know, bring it into the VR world or, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a phone app now. I don't know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're right. What's the new test? What is Centauri's new game that tests the new Starfighters out?
Whoa, dude, this new game's amazing. Going. Yeah.
You're next, Adam. Chime in.
You're going right for that. But I tell you what, it should be the original game. They should bring it back. They should charge a quarter. You have to, for an ad.
So they're playing the arcade ad for the last. They're at like the Penny Arcade or the Nickel Arcade down the street, and they plug in and dust it off and everything. They just like,
playing
the arcade.
What the hell is this thing?
Believe it, Toby. Yeah. Oh my God, this kid cleaned off the box. He turned the game on. You're it, guy. You're going to kick the Starfighter out.
Oh no, that like the it lights up if you beat it and you get like free tickets. You are one of the last Starfighters.
It's more than just a broken arcade. Also, he has to repair the ship. Right? Like he's got to fix the rocket.
Oh, jeez.
That's an amusement course.
Yeah. Like, you got the whole thing.
Wow.
So that's it for Last Starfighters. We'll tune in. Chucky TV series from the original creator. What's his name? Dan Corsarelli, whatever he is. So he's doing a Chucky show, and it's supposed to be reinvigorating the Chucky brand, if you will. And he went back and got the girl who played Kyle, Christine McCarthy.
From
and,
part two, yeah.
Yeah, and Alex Barkley, who played the original Andy in, like, the first three movies. So if you're a Child's Play fan, this should be right up your alley. Let's go to Nick. What do you think? Chucky TV series with some of the original stars.
I love it. I loved, the new sequels that came out, too, like Cult of Chucky. So I'm totally down for this. And to bring everyone back again, hell yeah. What they're going to do, I have no idea, but I trust this guy.
Cult of Chucky was a departure from the original story, but it had some of those people in it, right?
Yeah, and then there was a teaser for that Christina girl at the very end, like a tease, you know.
Oh, like how they teased Corey Haim popping up in the Lost Boys sequel, where he's just going
to exactly. Even though it's straight to video, we got to tease
it. Shit together for a 5-minute scene here at the end of the movie that no one's going to see. Okay, I'm on my way.
Oh yeah, I can do this. Man. Yeah.
Davey, are you on board for this Child's Play shit?
Yeah, like Nick, I kind of agree. The last two, not the remake or the redoing, but the last two direct-to-video sequels were actually pretty good for like straight-to-video movies, mm-hmm. and they're from the original creator like this. So I kind of think you're in good hands. Why not? I'm looking forward to it.
I say yes, Adam, all the way. I want to see. I would love to see if Brad Dourif would come back and do some voices.
He's supposed to be in it.
I'm pretty sure
He's done them all along except amazing. For the remake.
Yeah, he's supposed to be Chucky in the show.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That works.
I got some reverb myself, so I'm trying to adjust the mic as we.
How many episodes do you think they're going to be able to put out?
Of Chucky? Well, isn't Sci-Fi Channel involved or something? So they'll probably do 9 or 12 or something, or 13.
The more they put out, the better. Keep putting them out.
The only other headline. Oh, and I guess I'm on board for Chucky 2. I guess I don't know. I like Chucky. The second movie is my favorite of all.
Mine too. That whole last half an hour is incredible. It's at the toy factory. It's just genius.
Oh God, that gave me nightmares for years. Like I can't go down that road right now.
Okay, but the last thing is the idea. Do you guys remember a Canadian zombie movie called Pontypool, where he's in the radio station the whole time? He's like broadcasting as the zombie apocalypse happens. It's kind of a really cool idea. And then they're talking about, like, the sequel would actually be happening during the broadcast. So there'd be other characters interacting as they listen to the broadcasts.
Would it be the people calling into the show at the time?
Yeah. It would show us the other characters that called in and stuff. I was like, that's kind of a cool idea for a sequel. That's a great concept. Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
I think that's a great concept. I haven't seen the movie in years, so I don't remember exactly which characters it would be. But I did enjoy the movie, and I liked the lead actor in it. He was great. Yeah. So I'm totally on board for that concept.
Davey?
Yeah, I'm on board as well. Pontypool is kind of like a, I don't know, people who love it, or people who, you know, it's always one of those movies to show off to somebody. So bring on more, because it's an interesting and different concept on the zombie genre.
Well, I think the director, a zombie movie. The director was on some other podcast, and he was talking about the ideas for it, because I don't think they're going to get to make it. But Double A.
I guess my question, like, I haven't seen this movie, but I guess my question is, how do you think? I haven't.
Oh my gosh. What's on the top of your list right now to watch? Like, what's on the.
You should check it out.
I watch as many things on Shudder as possible.
In all fairness, it's kind of like an under the radar movie.
Can we move Pontypool up then? Can we move it to the tops?
Oh my gosh. I've got all these movies I've watched like half of, and I just peter out, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Maybe we'll have to
rotate Pontypool into this year's lineup then, if our bro here hasn't seen it.
I want to watch it. But my question about it was, okay, so it's just a guy at a radio station, he's getting calls about people being eaten or something?
Well, if the actor wasn't good, he couldn't hold the movie, because it's like talk radio, like that movie. The suspense builds up as the zombies get closer and closer to the radio station. That's broadcasting safety tips. And also at first it's like, is this really happening? Is this happening? And then it gets closer and closer to the station, and then shit is happening inside the station. That's probably as much as I should say, because it's actually really kind of an ingenious idea. And the way they executed it, it's a good movie. Yeah.
And you can do this style for low budget, which is great.
So the sequel, you're following some of those characters around that calling in. Was that the general gist?
You'd be a call-ins, and you'd hear the broadcasts, and you'd see it would center the time frame of the story, the same time period as when the broadcasts are happening.
If they could make it so that you started both movies at the same time, and they coincided, the calls coincided the same time.
That would be
pretty amazing. Too much to ask for that.
Nick of Time with Johnny Depp or something.
I don't know.
I don't know why I referenced that.
Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz or whatever.
I don't want to break the tempo, but we do have to take a break for some messages, and then we'll be right back after these messages.
No worries.
All right, let's take a look here. What's going on? What is going on? Aha! Available April 30th on digital and on demand. You got the Academy Award winner Christopher Walken, Zach Braff, Christina Ricci, and the true story of a small town farmer taking on the largest agricultural and food manufacturing corporation. I think it's Monsanto. And you got Percy Smizer. He's a third-generation farmer. He's sued by a giant corporation for allegedly using their patented seeds. With little resources to fight the giant legal battle, Percy joins the up-and-coming attorney Jackson Weaver and environmental activist Rebecca Salkow to fight one of the most monumental cases all the way to the Supreme Court. Buy or rent Percy versus Goliath on digital on-demand on April 30th. Rated PG-13 for Paramount Pictures, of course. Now, if you're in your show hole, I know Nick is always in a show hole looking for something to watch. If you're looking for something new or familiar, you can dig through a massive catalog of hits on Stars. You can see what's on Stars tonight by redeeming our 7-day free trial. It's in the show notes. That'll get you started. Now, T Public is throwing a massive merch sale. We got merch there. A couple of the guys tonight are wearing the official T-shirts. All right? You can pick up a T-shirt 30% off, I think, this weekend. Killer. Pick it up. All right. Real Paper is 100% bamboo, making it the most sustainable, eco-friendly toilet paper on the market, plus all their shipping materials and are biodegradable, and they use plastic-free packaging. If you want to support what they're trying to do to bring clean toilets to the world, then you're going to want to use our coupon code BINGEWATCHERS to receive 70? That'd be a huge discount. 25% off your first subscription at realpaper.com. By purchasing the Real Paper, you're supporting their mission to provide clean toilets and those to need around the world by giving American households a way to reduce their carbon footprint, whatever. Stereo is the app for live conversations. You can follow us at stereo.com/Johnny Spoiler. Of course, the offers are subject to change because our show is supported by sponsors and affiliates. The last thing is really funny. I had to replace my headphones. You guys know these Raycons that Raycon gave us?
Mm-hmm. I love them.
Sure.
Mine went through the laundry. So I was like, I need new earbuds. I went to our buyraycon.com/bingewatchers link. We can still get 15% off their earbuds. If you go to the link, it's still active. So I went and scored. What are you writing it, Dave?
Put it closer to the camera.
About My Little Pony? What? Okay. Well, you can talk now, Dave. The mics are on.
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting back to the podcast.
Pointed at yourself?
That's something extra for the viewers of this.
I don't even know what he's doing. I don't know what Dave's doing his own
Dave
thing.
Dave says he loves My Little Pony. I don't.
No, all right. So now back to the podcast already in progress, of course. And tonight's movie is Fist of the North Star. This movie is like if you dropped Bruce Lee into the Mad Max universe and said, hey, save us. They need to arrive at Kenshiro. He's got like a supernatural sense of martial arts. And he's supposedly this proclaimed Fist of the North Star. It's like a magical mantle he's going to inherit from his father. But the problem is he gets betrayed by two of his brothers and his best friend over a girl. And then it all goes to hell. And then actually, we should note that the movie is kind of like, at the same time the movie was made, they were animating the show, which has like 150 episodes of an anime developed from a manga. But and it literally, if you translate it, it's the Fist of the Big Dipper, and that's the name of this episode. But I'm going to kick it over to Dave to tell us more about the movie and the filmmakers. What did you find out, Dave?
All right, so got some facts here. So this is based off of a manga, and like John said, there was a TV show about a year or two before this. But unlike the TV show, the movie does not follow the manga, and it rearranges, has an alternate story that rearranges characters from the first 72 chapters. So for you manga people that know that. So one thing I did notice when we were watching, so it turns out James Avery, a.k.a. Shredder, a.k.a. Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince, did a voice for Fang in the English dub of this. So I don't know if anybody else caught that.
That's where I heard. I was like going.
Yeah, so in the movie, he's the giant king that turns his body into steel.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. As the giant sword. That's the character Dave's referring to. It's gotcha. The voice of Shredder. I do want to say, like, the adaptation TV show had more than 140 episodes. Then in like the early 2000s, they did a 3-episode miniseries as called an OVA, original video animation. That's when they truncate all that animes into little tiny minisodes. And then also The Legend of the True Saver came out later in the later 2000s, which is like a 5-part miniseries movie. So they did other movies, which are kind of like sequels after this. The 3-parter was like a remake of the movie we watched. And then the 5-parter was a sequel. And my... Holy crap. This dude just fell over. I got Star-Lord. He just fell over and knocked my camera.
Whoa.
What?
My little Star-Lord doll. Just
he knew you were talking about him.
On the podcast. Okay. And there's also a really shitty 90s movie, but we're not going to talk about that. It's horrible.
What, really was bad. It live action or is
I
it
saw, animated? I saw some yeah, still. They did a live yeah. action oh, adaptation okay. and it's the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. And so if we ever cover the worst movies, then it's on the list. But yeah. I wanted to make sure you guys watched the right movie. So I was like, make sure you watch 86 Fist of the North Star, not 2005, not 2006, not the DD Fist of the North Star, which is like there's this trend in anime right now called deformed. That's where they blow up either the hands or the heads really big, like bobbleheads. And they make shows out of that. So they did that.
What?
They did that to Fist of the North Star. They did it to...
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody tell them no.
Don't. Don't do it. Oh,
anyway, do it. So we usually cover favorite bits on the show, like our favorite scenes. Actually, it has an incredible opening and it has an incredible ending. And it does something in this movie that I don't see a lot of movies doing. They actually have like... spoiler alert. It's going to happen right away, right now. Right before we get into our favorite fights from the movie. Because we're doing favorite fights instead of favorite bits. But you can also add a couple comments of your favorite bits if you want to. It won't be a hard rule. It'll be a loose rule. Is you don't see a movie where like the antagonist changes sides by the end.
Yeah.
And has a change of heart. So that's pretty interesting. But yeah. My favorite fight scene is actually the Shredder voice king. The giant king who turns his body to steel. And the two armies are fighting each other. Mm. That's my favorite fight in the movie.
That's such a good one. You took such a good one.
wait, I went out of order too. That's really
funny. No, don't worry. He's excited. You're just excited.
I'm excited.
This segment has been spoiled.
This is the only anime I like more than this. Maybe is the original Vampire Hunter D, but this is in my top 5 all time. And like I held off watching this last year because once you watch this, we can't review it again. So it's like I had to time it perfectly when to talk about this movie. So we're doing it this year.
So real quick, another quick fact I didn't get to sneak in just because you mentioned Vampire Hunter D. So apparently the Ken from Fist of the North Star shows up in Vampire Hunter D And Vampire Hunter D is somewhere within Fist of the North Star, like as a cameo.
Whoa. See, this is mind-blowing. That means there's actually three movies that are in the same universe, in the same shared universe. If Vampire Hunter D is walking around in Fist of the North Star, and Fist of the North Star is walking around in Vampire Hunter D, Vampire Hunter D then goes and visits Amon, which is from Amon Saga, which is another hero in a post-apocalyptic world. That means they're all chilling in this post-apocalyptic after-Earth shit. That's crazy.
Wow. The Shonen Jump universe.
Oh, well, give it an official name then. Fucking A. It's actually any animation owned by Toei Studios. That's what it is. Hey, Nick, do you have a favorite fight from the Fist of North?
I do. I like the one, and I forgot a bunch of character names. I like the one where they're both like doing the laser against the wall, and then they both kind of come like this, and then they're holding each other's hands, and then they got that music going. Do you remember that one?
Well, you're talking, about the rom-com fight towards the end where the music video is going.
That's almost
the final fight where Ray. Ray's the friend who can cut
things. It was like Ryu or Ray or something. Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, Rao is the brother, the big warlord dude. And Ray is the guy that can cut shit with his hands, like moving through the air like this.
Yeah.
And if you're just listening to the audio, you lose because you can't see me move my hands.
Yeah, John is doing some crazy stuff with his hands. Yeah. I almost feel like I'm watching the movie.
Listen and watch.
Getting ready to do a Hadouken.
John, why are we not making the remake of this with you?
Damn. The $25 remake.
We'll just give him really big eyebrows.
Nick's favorite fight is the second to last fight in the movie. And it's the music video style fight because it's like, why is Ken walking everywhere? Everybody else has a horse or a motorized cart. And this dude, he's always late to the fights because he's walking. You know, Dangerous Dave, you got a favorite fight?
Yeah, like Nick, I don't remember character names, but I think it was Ken versus, I'll just call him the lard ass, the really fat guy.
Oh, wait, like, that's just a thug. That's one of Jackie's thugs. Jackie's the other brother. There's three brothers. Ken is the main guy. He's the youngest brother. The middle brother is Jackie, who Ken fucked up a long time ago, 10 years before, punched a bunch of holes in his face. So the guy glued his face together with a bunch of metal parts. Jackie's pretending to be Ken because Ken has more badass style than Jackie. So Jackie wants to take over a part of this world and wants to be the Fist of the North Star. He never will be. And so one of Jackie's bodyguards is a big fat guy. You're talking about when he kicks the guy in the stomach?
Well, yeah, and his like fist gets stuck in the guy's stomach and all that. Yeah.
You're already dead.
I just thought it was so different from everything else. Like, there's other great fights in that, but that was just different enough to make it my favorite.
All right. That brings us to Double A. He looks excited to tell us something.
I mean, Dave is constantly picking the same thing that I like all the time.
But because you go last, yeah.
I like the really big giant guy, the way he took him down. I used to have that fear of getting into a fight with a big bully fat guy and punching him in the stomach and not being able to get out. And then I saw that when I was a kid, when I first watched Fist of the North Star, and I was stoked that there's some other creative out there that had put my fear into creative medium. So I was stoked about that. But if I had to pick something else, it would be what John said. The guy that can harden his skin was probably one of the most entertaining things in the whole thing. So, the fight with his brother and the backstory of his brother is also compelling. So I guess I'll have to go with that just to be unique and different from you guys. What was his name? Jackie?
The middle brother is Jackie.
Yeah.
And the oldest brother is Rao.
Yeah, Jackie had a fascinating story because they went back and showed their fight and showed that he had already whooped them before. And he took, I don't know, there's a crazy power Ryu has, like the whole movie that he has this crazy thing that they can do with the spiritual stuff they believe in. And once they hit you, then, you know, you exploding. For whatever reason, and
they showed it in the beginning how they went inside and showed how they manipulate your brain waves. They send a signal to your brain to tell your organs to explode.
It's wild stuff, man. You don't want to mess with those guys.
Now I know it's not a fight, but can we just talk for just a brief moment about the rousing song? Like at the end, like my fist was kind of going. Like I can't remember the lyrics to the song, but it definitely has a rousing like. We got to get this done kind of a,
yeah. You know. The only thing that stands out is like fighting with your Is this where it says fighting with your double entity, or am I thinking of another movie? There's not. It does tell you. It does tell you to get something going. It does tell you. We should have looked up the lyrics, but it's mostly.
It had an Eye of the Tiger vibe.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Yes,
well, especially during that time, that was the style of music. Yeah.
Yeah, but you mean like the far off future?
Aroused.
Yeah, but Nick, you gotta appreciate like ultra-violent like graphics, like in the beginning where the nukes are going off,
yeah.
Just like melting faces everywhere.
I know, all the heads exploding, it was great, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was so different from the other movie last week. I kind of like that you did contrast. And was Street Fighter, the game, kind of influenced by this movie?
They said Mortal Kombat was. The word on the street is the reason Mortal Kombat did fatalities was because of
this movie. I could see something in there where I'm like, this reminds me of like those video games in the late or early 90s, you know?
Sure.
I just want to say, everybody that dies in the beginning, that's all us. Guys, that's us. So don't get too excited about all those wonderful graphics in the beginning.
Oh, man. And speaking of death, let's talk about the fans. Okay.
Oh, shit.
So if fans want to review some movies with us, they need to tell us what they are. They can email us some movie requests. We take fan requests during our fan service segment now. You can comment on one of our podcasts and we'll reward you with movies. Like, I don't know. We've given away a lot of shit. We'll give you King Kong 70, whatever that's coming out on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? We'll give you The Wolf of Snow Hollow or
Best
Brotherhood of the Wolf as a pre-sale. I'll throw you a pre-sale your way. Or Adam's talking about Shudder. I'll pay for your Shudder for the year. Give us a nice review somewhere and share the screenshot. Or just say something nice and tell us about it. We'll hook you up. That's it for fan service this week. There's not a lot of comments going on. Although, somebody did say tremendous in response to the... what was our last episode about? What did we do last week?
Last week we did Princess Mononoke.
We did a Mononoke demon worm deal. And somebody said tremendous to that one. That's cool.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now, if you need something to watch this week and you're not going to do anime because you're not a fan like David, then you need something else to watch. So we'll give you some recommendations. Hey Nick, what can you recommend to our fans and our listeners if they need something to watch?
Well, I'm gonna double down on what Dave said last week. I think nobody. I got to go to the theater for the first.
So good. You should probably paraphrase that. That's actually the title of the movie.
Oh, was I calling Dave a nobody? Yeah, sorry. Oh. No, the movie's called Nobody, but it was my first time going to the movies since Bad Boys for Life. Like it's been like 13 months, so it was so cool to see a movie in the theater, but let alone this was John Wick, but funny. And actually, I think I enjoyed this better than the John Wick movies, to be honest with you. I loved it.
I can't wait to watch it again. It is one of those movies, as soon as you're done, you're like, okay, I can't wait so I can watch that again.
So good. Yeah. I loved it. So I would, if you have a theater by you, go support your local theater and see Nobody. Not that Dave's a nobody. Right. Nobody.
In fact, I think it's like going to be available on demand this Friday or the 16th.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Actually, okay. I think it'll already be out by the time people are listening to this. So
we can still go see it in the movie theater.
If you can see it in a movie theater, do that.
Go see it. It's worth it.
Rent it.
Bring a gang of friends.
Dave, is that also your recommendation?
No, because I recommended that last week.
He recommended it last week, so that's why I was doubling down.
So somebody has to take up the mantle next week.
Yeah. Adam Johnson.
I don't always pay attention to you guys' recommendations. I'm just being honest.
I just always like to say Greenland. I like to say Greenland all the time to like trip you guys out.
So, Dave, what is your recommendation?
I actually pulled something out of the catacombs I hadn't watched in a long time, and I laughed my ass off. But The Lost Skeleton of Cadavera. It's like a spoof of like 1950s like drive-in movies, or like basically what Mystery Science Theater did for like the first 10 years of like old rubber monster movies or like gimmicks. Like people like scientists are like, we got to do this for science, for the advancement of science. Like they you know, they turn like four squirrels into a woman named Animala, and she's like horny for everybody. There's aliens. It's just like a fun, campy, like 1950s throwback. Like it's like not so much making fun of it, but actually like almost like paying homage to like how stupid but fun these movies were. So check out The Lost Skeleton of Cadavera.
What year was that? Because I remember I used to see a trailer for the theater in the theaters for that.
It was like 2004 or like early 2000s.
Okay. Oh, so it was like
it was meant to look like a 1950s movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Very fun.
Didn't Tom Cruise do that with the Mummy remake?
Probably.
Isn't that what that was?
Probably. Oh, yeah. That one. That movie.
Is that what you watched, Adam? Did you watch
that? No. I watched a really cool movie called Blood and Flesh, The Real Life and Ghastly Death of Al Adamson.
That is a badass movie, actually. Sorry.
Isn't it amazing?
Like, it's you can't tell people, like, really what happens, but, like, oh, yeah, you go on.
Al Adamson, this doesn't spoil anything. He's in the very beginning of the film, you find out he died and somebody killed him, and then they tell you how great he was and all the stuff he made. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I was like, there's stuff I was laughing out loud at during the movie. Like, one of the cinematographers was like at a video store, and he's like, oh, this is some crap. Who made this garbage? And he turns it over and he sees his own name on it. Oh, I made this garbage. Because Al Adamson used to rebrand movies and put new footage in them with give them a new title. And he'd do and like just recycle mill all of the old movies and give them new titles that were like, and the titles were marketing. It was just like, what keywords are going to get those horror fans out?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to learn from him. There's so many cool stories, the careers that he helped make, a little bit about how Hollywood changed over time. And of course, a murder mystery. And let me just put it this way. Every movie that I'm watching right now that I only watch half of, I just couldn't stop watching this film. I saw it today, and it's nice. All I can think about.
Wow. So. That's always a sign of a good movie. I love
that's
that.
That's a big sell.
Yeah.
It is a good, I can vouch for it. That is a good documentary.
Well, here's the thing. If you go to bwpodcast.com and find our Shudder code, you get a month free and watch this movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that code still works too, actually.
Yeah. It should work. I mean, and if it doesn't, then you can sue.
And Shudder's dumb because we have a ton of traffic and they should fucking plug the code all year.
Yeah.
Throwing down.
I guess it's my turn. So Drew Barrymore made a show with Drew Barrymore and Drew Barrymore. It's called The Stand-In. She plays this famous actress named Candy Black, and they just dropped this movie on Netflix on Friday. And it's a little bit like What Happened to Baby Jane, honestly. It takes a dark turn. And if it didn't take the dark turn, the movie would be fucking forget about it. It'd be forgettable, another Netflix entry in the algorithm. But because it takes a slightly dark turn, it's at least worth a Saturday afternoon movie watch or something.
I was kind of on the fence about that one.
Yeah. And I watched Thunder Force, which is a superhero movie on Netflix with Melissa McCarthy. And forgive me, I forget the other lady's name who was in this Ma. NASA movie called Hidden Figures.
Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, she's in a horror movie called Ma, too. Yeah.
I watched that, yeah.
What's her name? Is it
Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, Octavia Spencer. There we go. She's cool, too. They're in this movie where they design superpowers because the world is filled with supervillains. But the only reason the movie is even laughable is because Jason Bateman shows up as a guy who has claw, like crab hand claws, and he's one of the bad guys, and he crab walks everywhere like this. So because he leaves, like, and they make a lot of inside jokes where, like, Melissa McCarthy is, like, attracted to him because it reminds her of her favorite food or whatever, and at one point she is literally buttering him. So you know, but the movie sucks. But at least, his jokes land, and nobody else's jokes really land. But he's a reason to check it out because it's kind of a gimmick. That's it. And Nick is gonna get us to our next segment.
So John, what are the staff picks this week?
What are the coming attractions?
Our coming attractions.
Jumping ahead.
Is it coming attraction or wait, what?
Oh shit!
Oh, coming attractions. Yeah. What are the coming?
The bucket.
Staff picks.
I feel like I'm working at a Blockbuster video.
Yeah, John's
staff
right?
picks.
Yeah. So that's the general idea. Like these are our recommends. If there was a wall, we would stick the movies on them. But we don't have a wall. Everything's digital now. So. Okay, so these are the choices: Kite. Highlander anime, Pontypool, or Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. Because we're going to do a whole month of staff pick movies where each one of us gets a turn at picking a movie that we're going to review. But we kind of have an extra week that I didn't plan for that somehow got away from me on the calendar in between staff picks beginning and the anime run ending. So these are the choices for next week. You got to vote on Kite, Highlander Anime, Pontypool, or Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, which is the sequel to Vampire Hunter D, which, if we watch Vampire Hunter D, it would be a nice bookend, because last year we ended the anime run with the original Vampire Hunter D. Keep that in mind.
I see.
All right, let's go down the list. We'll start with Nick.
I'm going to say Pontypool, since we had a good conversation about it tonight, and Adam hasn't watched it, so yeah.
I'm gonna
say Pontypool because it's a genuinely good movie. And why not?
I haven't seen it in years either.
I see what Dave is doing. He's trying to break the anime. That's what he's trying.
Yeah, he is. He is. You gave him a non-anime
on this or that. That's not my fault.
you did the picks. Yeah,
you had to make an exemption for Dave being able to pick that one. That is because I want to watch anime right now. So if I knew which one John was going to pick, then I would pick that as long as it was a Pontypool. Not that I don't want to watch that. I'm just in the mood for anime, and I like the idea of dragging Dave kicking and screaming to watch some. So I'm going to say Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, or whatever it is. Bloodlines. Whatever. What is it?
Wow. I was going to agree with you, but you didn't get the title correct, so now I can't.
Vampire Hunter D. Boom. The sequel. Boom. Got it.
Boom.
Nailed it.
VHD.
What happens? Did we establish what a tiebreaker is?
I don't think we ever have. Have we ever had a tiebreaker? Do we have the tiebreaker? Do we have to do like
take
a
it to the internet?
I think it's kind of sweet that we could end our anime run with the other Vampire Hunter D.
I know, and then I broke John's heart when I was like, "Ah, Pontypool."
Dave, is it time to use your producer chip now?
What?
No, I wouldn't waste it on this one. I guess I like Pontypool. I don't know.
We're gonna surprise the audience. We're not gonna tell you. We're gonna go. We're gonna take the discussion offline. We're not gonna let anybody know.
Surprise him.
We'll surprise you.
You have to watch both.
I was going to say, so you have to watch all four, depending on what we choose.
Watch all four? Holy shit. True binge watching, I guess. Nick, I feel like the night's gone on a little too long.
Yeah, it's starting to get late, so we talked about North of the Fifth Star. What is it again?
The Fifth Star. Yes! Yes!
I want to see that version. We talked about Pontypool. I was trying to get everyone to watch it. We talked about news. Stuff got real. We talked about staff picks.
You know what? We're really good for about 25 minutes, and then the shit just falls apart after that.
Staff picks, you know, we got into it, you know, and stuff got real. So check us out on Instagram, bwpodcast.com. Like, check us out on Apple, all the sites. We're everywhere, guys. But stuff got real. We had a good time. I didn't puke, which I'm really happy about. I thought I was going to throw up live on the show. But, yeah, we did good. So, anyways, this is Nicky T saying, let's.
I was waiting for the extra comments that they usually throw your way, but I guess not tonight.
Oh, I thought that was such a big crescendo.